Blog Talk Radio.
16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Well, we're back after a few Saturdays away. Welcome to Wealth Money Radio. It's Saturday morning, October 19th, 2019. I'm Gregory K. Soderbergh. I'm here with Byron Dale, and we probably got a caller or two and some visitors we'll talk to. I was trying to figure out how to start this show to make you interested in what's going on and what we're trying to accomplish. But today, let me say, there's three ways to put money into circulation after it's created. You can give it into circulation, you can lend it into circulation, or you can spend it into circulation. Each of those ways has different consequences. And since they changed it from being spent into circulation, all money is now lent into circulation. But we can get America back on the road it was intended to be on by passing legislation called the American Transportation Act. Byron Dale is the initial author of that bill. It would provide for the creation and spending of all new money into circulation to build our public roads and bridges in place of taxing or borrowing. So let's break the bonds of economic servitude, make America free so that it can be great. The number to call is 347-884-9499. Byron, are you there? What do you got to say this morning?
Well, I'm here, and I'm going to turn it over to Nori, because Nori is a guy that kind of does exactly what you said. He constantly contacts these legislators and tries and pushes them hard to introduce the bill. And we'll just turn it over for him for a few minutes, and then we'll continue on with the show. Go ahead, Nori.
Hi, Byron. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
I've been putting lots of pressure on my congressman and my two senators to introduce
That's
the American
great.
Transportation Act in
mm-hmm.
the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And I'm still really going at it, and I've been talking to my friends about this debt money system and the fact that it's all loan into circulation and payable interest. And I talked to one of my friends about the Wealth Money Radio, wealthmoney.org. I asked him if they look at the website, and I asked him to see if he could learn more information about the debt money system and help me put pressure on Congress to get the American Transportation Act passed.
And they can sure do that. And if they go on to wealthmoney.org, because there's a lot of good information there, and you can see. And it's what I want to do is thank you for doing this, and you have a tough time because one of your legislators is a knucklehead that's running for president that clearly has not brain one in his head. So, I mean, the things he says is, it's hard to believe that an intelligent man would say such things. But so you have a hard road to go, and I know you work on it all the time, and I wanted to thank you with that. and then we will continue on with the show. And I think, Greg, what I want to do a lot of talk about what you just said, because, you know, we just can't stand around and do nothing. People have to become more active, like Nori, and actually get a hold and try to hold their legislators. And I personally sent a redress of grievance to all 9 Supreme Court justices and the Attorney General of the United States. And I didn't get a response from the judges, but I did from the Attorney General's office. So that'll be maybe interesting to see what happens. I'll just have to wait and see, because they've given a time period for them to take a chance to look at it. But it's clear that they notified that they did get it. So all we can do is hope for the best and go on. And we need to constantly explain. And I've run into quite a few people lately that's clearly heard about it and want more interest on it. And I have a meeting coming up Wednesday with a person that's interested in that and want to know just exactly how it works. And yesterday I spoke with a woman, and I explained some of this stuff to her and some of the things that's happened to me. And she said, "Well, I can't believe that." And there was another woman there who has seen pictures of what they did to me. She said, "Well, I know he's telling the truth because I saw the pictures." And the woman was quite interested, and she openly admitted she had never thought, or even, "How did you ever stop to think about this in the first place?" And, you know, that's an important thing, that people have to stop and think about this. You know, you need to question, well, why is every place you go, there's just banks everywhere? And why do we need all these banks? And we need to stop and think, well, just exactly where does our money come from? How does this money get into circulation? And Greg set it forth real well. There's only 3 possible ways you can do it. You can give it away, you can spend it, or you can lend it. And, you know, people talk about it, and well, the one woman said, "Well, the Treasury prints the money." And I said, "That's absolutely right. Now my question is, how does that money go from the Treasury to our hands? What's the process of how that works?" And she openly admit why she'd never once thought about it. Never once thought about it. You know, you just go about your business, and you get a job, and you work, and you do the work, and then, you know, you go home and try to live a nice life after that the best you can. And this is the thing that we've got to get people to sit down and just question in their mind, well, just how does this money work? Where? And we need to get more people to go on the debt clock and look at how much debt there is and how small amount of actual money there is. And, you know, it makes you wonder, I really don't have any idea what a $1 trillion is, much less several, 4 trillion or 14 trillion. But I went into a new building this last week, and we was looking it over, and it was a new building and new kind of a concept to work with wood, and they had to get all their machinery from overseas because none of it was made here in this country. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty sized building, and I asked him, well, just how much money did it take to get this thing started and rolling? And he said $20 million. Well, you know, that's a lot of money, in my opinion. And can you imagine a person having just to have $20 million to start a new business that works with lumber? And it was really interesting. It was educational. And we need to get people thinking about, well, not only how much it costs to do this, but where does this money all come from? And how did it get into circulation so we can actually use it to do things, you know, to make trips, to do all kinds of things, go see your doctor? But it all takes money. And yet nobody seemed to think much about where that money comes from. And this is one thing that I really want to emphasize. These people have got to start thinking about, well, just exactly where does money come from? You know, it's not so important as what money is, as how it gets into circulation. because it could be all kinds of different things. And if you still only have three ways to put it in circulation, and I guarantee you, if you loan it into circulation, then you have a problem because now you have debt. And if they add interest to that debt, now you have a debt that's greater than the money supply. And I've went through that several times with guys where I was going to loan 10 guys to have a poker game. And they all agreed. In fact, I did this in court one time, and they all agreed that, yeah, you could have a good poker game. And so I went ahead and had poker and game, and then after a while, they ready to go home, and they all get up to leave. And I said, okay, now I loaned you each $100, but now I want $110 back from each of you because I on interest, and I told you I was going to charge you interest before you started. And then they get to looking around, and oh, my gosh, there's not enough money to do that because only $1,000 went into the game, but $1,100 has to come out of the game. And that's impossible if you don't have some more creation of money. And the only way you can get creation of more money into circulation, you have to borrow more at interest. So now all you did is now increase the debt faster than the money supply. And the people I explained that to, the one got white as a sheet and the other one got red as a red tomato, ripe tomato. But it, even though they knew and saw the truth, they refused to do anything or even address the truth. And this is the thing we've got to overcome on people, because we've got to get them get seriously thinking about, well, just where does all this money come from that we all use to buy everything and do everything? And really think about it. And yes, the Treasury does print it, but exactly how does it move from the Treasury to us? And the Treasury wrote this a letter and clearly said, well, we sell it to the banks for the cost of printing, and then they sell it to the banks at face value. And then the banks only use that if somebody comes in and wants a cash, a check. I had a check the other day, and I wanted to in and I wanted cash for it, so they dig it out. But see, most people don't realize that in order to buy that currency the first time, you have to have money that you borrowed. Somebody had to borrow the money before you can go there and ask for it. And if you don't have a check or something, you just want the currency, well, then you have to write a check on a bank that then will say, okay, they'll take that. And that's not printed money. That's not anything. All that is numbers that they've added to a checking account. And they got to do that. Then you can take those numbers and give it to the bank, and they will give you the Federal Reserve notes. And most people never think about that. They never stop to think about it. And that's one thing we've got to get them to doing. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Greg.
Well, you know me. I just try to let people know. For some reason, I care about America, and I want to see America be what it's supposed to be. And maybe I learned wrong, but I thought America was about being free, and I want anybody that's listening to this show to understand that we're not free. And the reason we're not free is because we're forced into economic servitude to get the numbers created that Byron was talking about. If somebody has to be in debt so that money can exist, we have to be perpetually obligated and forced to perform. And if we don't, no money exists. And to me, that is so anti-freedom, so anti-American. And so many people talk about making America great again. But the thing is, America was great because it was supposed to be free, and its people were supposed to be free. Free to be able to work, produce, save, without being encumbered with tyranny of servitude. And that's what the 13th Amendment talks about. And those amendments were created after the Constitution was signed to be sure that we had some rights. And the 13th Amendment talks about protecting our right against involuntary servitude. And so, you know, Byron was talking about, how the money comes into circulation. Once upon a time, some money came into circulation with no debt in America. They tried to get that thing going, but of course, special interests and those that can create the money who have no limitations were able to get that stopped and just make sure that all the money was created as debt to you, the free American citizen. And so what we want to do is change that, and we want to follow the principles of the Constitution. You know, the preamble talks about the intent, why we the people formed the Constitution for the United States. And one of those things in there, besides liberty and justice for all and peace and tranquility, was to promote the general welfare. And if you think about it, a free people should be interested in promoting the general welfare. What's good for everybody? Not just what's good for a few, but what's good for everybody. So if we take that idea of promoting the general welfare, and we take the authority that Congress has to create money, and we take the duty that Congress has to provide post offices and post roads, and we put them all together, even without the use of a bank, we use our treasury and our mints and our Bureau of Engraving and Printing to create the money and spend it into circulation as a payment for building these roads and bridges instead of taxing or borrowing. And this brings the money into circulation with no debt. It brings it into circulation with the increase in production. And it only brings it into circulation when it has been earned and has to be paid. And so we, the people, make all these decisions. And we control the money supply by how much we produce that benefits the general welfare. And that's key. We don't want to get into a situation like we're in now where everything is for the special interests. All the money that Congress appropriates, how much of that do you ever hear? Well, we're going to do this because it's going to be good for everybody. It promotes the general welfare. Never, 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 never. You always hear about, we've got to give these folks over here a little bit of money because they need some help. And then we need these folks over here. And then we argue about, no, you can't give them any money. You got to give the money over here. Put the money in my district. No. And it's contention and chaos and all because it's all borrowed and you're always short. Byron was talking about it because you got the interest growing with time. The money supply only grows with more borrowing, more increase in our indebtedness. And so when you add that unpayable cost of interest to everything we produce, you increase the price, but you don't increase the money, and your purchasing power goes down the tubes. Have you noticed, if you've lived long enough, that your money today, your dollar today, doesn't purchase what it used to?
Yep.
You have to work longer and harder and more hours to achieve the same thing. Well, this is what we're going to get more and more of if we don't simply change the way we put new money into circulation. So,
and I want to go ahead and also explain that Congress did what the Constitution said. They said they was to coin the money or create the money, because that word's a verb, not a noun.
Yep.
And they did. They set up a Bureau of Printing and Engraving in Treasury to print currency, and they set up a Bureau of the Mint to mint coins. And the problem of it is they went and did all that, and they do it now. But when it came to put it into circulation, it's when things got all screwed up. Because of going ahead and spending it into circulation after they printed it or minted it, they said, well, no, we have to deliver that all over to the banks. Now, the currency, we just do that like a printing job. They tell us how much they want printed, and we print it up, and then we sell it to them for whatever it costs us to print. So there's no profit made whatsoever or any place there except for the banks later on. And then the coins, they did the same thing. Well, they made the coins instead of going ahead and spend them into circulation or move them into circulation in a way, so people can have them coins and not just all currency. But they did the same thing. Instead of spending it, they said, well, we need to put it into the banks. Well, the banks, they only want it for a profit, Now, they tell you that when they first get it, it's not a profit because they call it both an asset and a liability, and so they don't have a profit. But then later on, they go ahead and the banks say that, well, now this with this currency, we put it in as face value. And therefore, they got it for 10 cents on a dollar for a $100 bill, but they put it into circulation as $100 to the banks that they get the full 100. And see, these are things that people just don't think about at all. And I think we have a guest on here. I'll see who he is.
All right.
Good morning. Is this you, Leslie?
Erlon Johnson reporting for Wealth Money.
Oh, okay. This is Erlon Johnson. I'm sorry I took that. I'm glad to have you, Erlon. And what have you got to say this morning? And you got to speak a little bit different than what you just did.
Sounds like a Martian.
In what way? You mean louder?
What?
Softer? Louder?
It's broken up. It sounds like a Martian. You got it. It's not clear. It sounds like you're growling.
Oh, no. Let me see here. Well, I've got a good signal. I'm not sure what the problem is. Can you hear me a little better now?
No.
Well,
Why
we can hear you okay, but it's just broken up and like you was.
Hang up.
Sure.
I'll hang up and call back.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. He hung up. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering all them numbers. Okay, but I knew it was somewhere relatively close up in my direction. So I'm sure he may try to call back in a little bit. So we'll go ahead and I'll turn it back to you, Greg. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, if you change the way you put this money into circulation, you know, it's spent into circulation as an earned payment for something we all need and benefit from. And roads and bridges is the only thing I can think of that we all really need and benefit from equally. We'd start smoothing out the way the people in this country treat each other. We'd start smoothing out the way this country operates. And we wouldn't have all this hooping and hollering and pissing and moaning about all this different stuff that's tearing us apart. And, so if we just created the money and spent it in circulation and build these roads and bridges, besides all the benefits, which I don't have time to go into right now, but it would put us back on the road, on the right road and going in the direction we were supposed to be going in the first place. And if you have any doubt about what that is, read the preamble to the Constitution. It'd probably take you a minute to read it. And that states what we were trying to accomplish in this country. And, you know, you almost, no, I insult anybody, but you almost need to be ashamed of yourself if you have never read it. And if you're one of those people out on the street creating all this contention and hollering about this, that, and the other thing, maybe you ought to read the Constitution, the game plan for what America was to be and what it was to become, and get a hold of that compass and learn how to read the compass and start following the compass. Is Erlon back yet?
Okay, it looks like Erlon's back on now. We'll see how he sounds. Good morning,
okay,
Erlon.
I'm back on. Good morning.
Oh,
how do I sound?
You're a lot better today now. Go ahead.
Well, maybe I was sick a few minutes ago. I'm not sure. Well, Greg asked me to call in, and I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late, but I am working today. But I wanted to just update you guys on some of the things I'm working on right now. I'm really trying to meet with some legislators from Minnesota here, so we can have the bill with the wealth money bill to fund transportation introduced in the session starting on February 11th of this year. And so I've actually got meetings set up with a neighboring state representative on November 4th, my state representative on November 21st, and my state senator wants to meet my ex-state senator before I move. I've got a tentative meeting set up with him, and we're going to try and invite a bunch more people, a number of other state senators, to that meeting. And so we want to get him exposed to this and get him on the record that, look, I'm going to support it or I'm not. We want, it's a simple yes or no, and then we're going to keep moving forward with it. And I've got some new ideas to help build momentum to pass this bill. And it boils down to people, lists, and money. So we're going to start building a list of people that we can find to support this. And but we need to keep it really simple. And my idea right now of keeping it simple is, hey, we're going to reduce taxes. Are you in favor of reducing taxes, yes or no? We have a way to reduce taxes. It's that simple. And I think if we keep it really simple, we can have some greater success than perhaps we've had in the past. So that's kind of what I've been working on. Yeah, that's what I've been working on lately. Now, if you guys have any questions for me or anything specific, I'd be happy to share anything you ask with me or with you.
Well, I don't have any questions. I imagine a lot of things in that whole process, but I'm for keeping it simple. I don't know. It's just I thought over the years we've done this thing so many different ways, and I don't know. We just keep trying different ways.
Go
ahead.
One of the things I've come to realize is, this is very important to us because we do understand it, but the average person on the street that does not understand it, it's not important to them because things that they perhaps don't understand are not important. But one thing everybody understands is I'm getting gouged with taxes. I'm paying 28 cents a gallon gas tax. They're talking about raising it up to 20 cents a gallon, and we absolutely have to stop that. And this is a simple message where we've got a way to fund transportation without raising taxes. As a matter of fact, we're going to do even better than that. We're going to eliminate them. And the average person can understand that concept. And that's how we got to really keep it simple and move forward. And in even presenting it to the legislators, they cannot use the excuse that I don't understand it, because can you imagine if a constituent calls up a legislator and says, hey, I want you to support eliminating the gas tax? Well, I don't understand that. What's not to understand? We want to eliminate the gas tax. You're either in favor of it or you're not.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think for the listening audience, we ought to make it just a little bit clearer. There is two ways to address it. You can do it at the federal level, what Greg talked about when we started this show, or you can do it on the state level. But there's two different things here that you got to kind of address it, so you can't do it exactly the same, because the Constitution clearly says Congress should provide, create money for the benefit of the people. Well, see, in the states, you can't do that. But the states have went ahead, and I don't think it's actually constitutional, but the courts have ruled that it's okay, they can do it. So that's why most people believe it's legal and constitutional. But see, you have a dual banking system. You have a federal banking system and you have a state banking system. Well, to do what Erlon's talking about, we have to work through the state chartered banking system. And that's controlled by the state law. And they are in control of the banks. So what we've got to do is get the legislators to understand they do have control. They do. That's what they're there for, to pass laws. So they need to pass a law that the state banks will create money as a payment to pay for building the roads in Minnesota. And we've worked that for some time, and we've had several. But the problem is most of the people get their campaign money from the bankers, so they're hesitating to do that for fear the bankers won't fund their next campaign. And that's what this is all about. It's hard to go to to the federal government and down in Washington every week or something like that to talk to them or try to set up meetings with all them guys. But it's a lot easier to do it on a state level where you're right here and all the legislators are in the state. So it's a lot easier to go down to the state capitol than it is to go down to the federal capitol. And it sounds like we're maybe going to have a show somehow between the time that I was not feeling well and didn't have the shows to where I started this. They seem to have cut us down to 30 minutes. So we'll have to say, I don't know if they're going to cut us off. I don't think they ever used to, but we'll have to wait and see. And if that is, then I want you to know that is why the show is going to be a little shorter. And when I get through with this show, I'm going to try to contact them and try to find out why and how come. Although I do have a thing on my screen that says Skype integration for host is currently under maintenance. So we may be having something there that they're trying to do that has some effect to this. And so it's hard to contact them, but I'll do my best to do that. And so...
So I was just wondering, I wanted to ask Caroline, if we keep it simple and we're just telling the people, hey, we're going to get rid of the gas tax, and people go, yippee, 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 and then, you know, it's bound to come up, well, how are you going to do that and still be able to pay for roads and bridges? And that's where, you know, that's where things start, you know, people start wondering how we're going to do it. What are you going to tell them? You tell the average guy, yeah, I'd like to see you get rid of the gas tax and everything. How are you going to do that? And then what do you tell them?
Is that a question for me, Greg?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We've got a funding mechanism through state chartered banks to fund transportation, debt-free and interest-free. That's how we're going to do it.
Okay.
And then you just tell them that, and if they have more questions, great. But... Mm-hmm. We've kind of had the burden on us. We feel like we have to explain everything and make them fully understand when I don't believe we do. I just told you how we're going to do it. What questions do you have for me? Well, how's it going to work? Well, here's the bill. Why don't you read it? It explains exactly how it's going to work. Did you have any other questions?
But what,
go read the bill and come back.
Well, how are we going to pay that money back?
You don't. Well, I understand.
You can't
imagine
how many times I've heard that.
Oh, I've heard it too in the last couple of months. We're not going to pay it back. It's even better. It's beautiful. And then
you don't have
next
to pay
question.
It back when it's spent in the circulation. You do not have to pay it back.
There you go. Boom. Next question. So we got to put the burden back on them. You know, not the burden is on you to tell me why we shouldn't at least try this bill that has a pilot project built into it. Why wouldn't we try it? That's the question. What's your idea? How should we do it? You want to raise taxes? No, I don't. All right, then. We could try this. Unless you have a better idea, and if you do, I want to hear it right now. You don't have a better idea. Okay, well, then let's try this. And one of the things
and
I really like...
Why shouldn't we try it? Why? What would we have to lose if we did try it?
That's the whole point. We've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, so why wouldn't we try it?
And as long as
we have...
And it
makes you think sometimes that the legislators don't honestly believe that they have the power and right to create new laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and when
and
it comes to some of these things,
that's kind of silly. But I guarantee you, I've seen that a lot. Well, I don't know if we have the authority to create that kind of a law.
Well,
and there's no limit to the laws they can pass as long as it's constitutional. But I got a letter from a group a while back, and they said almost all the last bills in the last election down in the House was unconstitutional. It's funny they never think about that when they're doing something unconstitutional, but all of a sudden, oh, we can't do this. I've never heard about this before. And, you know, I really don't understand it. I don't, because I agree with you. It's a pretty simple process. You know, money's got to be created somehow, someplace. So what's the best way to do it? Well, create it and spend it in.
I have no problem with the way airlines going on this, but what it needs to achieve is a whole lot of those average people that you talk about going to action. And I don't know if simply telling them, because they've been told plans to get rid of the gas tax before, and I didn't see thousands of people in an uproar about it, but that's where we need to get them, and I just don't know how to get them there.
Well, it's kind of a sales and marketing thing, really, and getting the word out and building. And I'll explain it to you a little bit more, Greg, on how I think we can do this. And the other thing I wanted to mention, though, and Greg, when you sent me the latest version of the state bill, somebody added in there the taxes that will be eliminated. Was that you, or who added that?
Yeah, because when Leslie took it to the whoever it is up there, he said that the way it's written affects other laws already in place, and we have to address those, and those were some of the ones. So I wrote them in there saying that that law and that law would no longer be required.
Well, it's interesting. I got two comments. Comment one is, it really doesn't affect those laws. You're creating money. It's just additional money that would go towards, you know,
but
funding.
But you don't need the other money then. You just can't keep collecting.
I understand. I agree. I agree with that, and I'm really glad you put that in. It affects it only that we don't need that money anymore, but they could certainly redirect the money and that type of thing. But I'm really glad that that's in there because it's very specific. So if a legislator asks, well, here's the laws we're getting rid of, and anybody asks about here's the taxes we're getting rid of, it's in the bill. It's listed right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's critical to get that in there. I really like that a lot.
Well, some people will tell you, though, that the Constitution of Minnesota has required you to have taxes to pay for roads. So,
oh, really?
I've been told that. I've never really found much about that. I've looked at the Constitution. I don't think I ever saw that in it myself. I'd have to think again because it's been a long while. But, you know, it's strange.
I think
they can make changes laws all the time to do things, but somehow we just can't touch the money thing. And
well,
then, one of the most things I've heard was when I talked to them is, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I was going to say, Byron, maybe the reason you haven't found it in the Constitution because it's not really written in the Constitution. The person that told you that is probably referencing one of the laws that Caroline and I were just talking about, where they made a statute saying they're going to tax tax the gas to get roads and bridges, but it ain't in the Constitution necessarily.
Well, I haven't read the Minnesota Constitution for quite some time. I just know that I think that was probably in that. But I'm sure that you could work around that if you're trying to do something that benefits everybody, because basically taxing everybody don't necessarily benefit the people or anything else to tax them all to have these roads when the roads are getting more expensive. I think I just got a letter the other day from Edina where they were talking about having it $1.5 million a mile, I think, or something like that, to build the road now. So, you know, it makes a difference on some of this stuff that I think even if that was, I'm sure you could make a small change there or something, because you also have the right to change your constitution if everybody agrees. And if you've got the benefit that we would get from this, well, then you could do that. Go ahead.
Sure, that's what all the legislators do now. They change whatever they want to change and make it work the way they want it to work.
You're right.
Well, let me give you an example. I was talking with my old state senator, and I was chastising him about voting for omnibus bills, which means everything in the kitchen sink thrown in, and they have one vote on all these different subjects. But the Minnesota Constitution says one subject at a time. And so clearly anybody can understand. I mean, it's not hard to understand. One subject means one subject. And if you have more than one, it violates the Constitution. And my state
senator
said to me,
and that they don't seem to worry about.
They don't worry about it at all. He says, well, the courts haven't struck any of it down yet. And I said, well, Senator, it's not just the courts that can rule on constitutionality. You have an obligation to the people to do what's constitutional. And if, and as I believe, and you believe, you can read this, it's unconstitutional, so stop voting for these omnibus bills.
Well, the other thing your senator doesn't understand, like so many people don't understand, is what the courts say or rule or uphold or strike down is simply an opinion. It does not change any law. It does not amend, does not repeal, does not create any law. Americans, please get it through your head. The judges don't have any legislative authority. When they bring that opinion down, now it's up to you, American citizen, to go to your congressman and change, amend, or repeal the law if you feel like it needs to be done. Period. Forget them judges. So tired of hearing about them.
Well, Greg, don't you know about case law? And isn't really case law an oxymoron? How can it be law if it's a case?
Well, maybe that's why they call it.
The very fact that they call it case law is provable, is proof that they're not wanting to follow the law, because there's no place in the Constitution that gives them the authority to create laws.
Yep. Well, where do you think they came up with the name criminal justice system? Because it's exactly what it's become, criminal.
Yeah, criminal, that's right. Now, here's another point, and I think, Byron, you and I have talked about this a little bit, but in the Constitution of Minnesota, it states that any banking law must have a two-thirds majority vote in the legislature to pass. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about, Byron?
No, I'm not. I'm that one. I guess I've never heard that one. Go ahead.
Well, it's in there, and if you read it, but I got to thinking about this, and this transportation funding, is it really a banking law? It really isn't. It's more of a funding law. It's got nothing to do
Absolutely,
with the banks
you're right.
except for here's how we're going to implement it. We're going to make one small accounting change, as you like to say, and that's all we're doing, but it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Yep. It's a principle.
And to start with, that's the reason I didn't put that in the first place, because we're not going to start by trying to say we're going to change the banking. We're just going to say that, now we've give you the authority to do this, now you're going to use it in a different way for the benefit of society and see how that works. Then
right.
We can go from there if we want to address the banking somehow. We're not going to change what they do right now, but we're going to say that now we have given you that authority, and now you're going to have to use that authority for the benefit of the people, especially for the roads that we really need, and they're becoming so terrible expensive to create and to build. So we're going to say, okay, now you have to take one step further and create this money as a benefit to the society and building roads. We're not going to change what you're doing right now. And see, they really don't, that really kind of takes it all away from having any changing in the banking. We're just adding one thing more that you can do.
And the banking industry should really love it in a way, because, you know, now when you create these loans, you only create the principal of the loan. And the Treasury tells me in order to pay the interest, you got to borrow some more money, and there's interest on that money too, and on it goes. But you know what? If they create money and spend it into circulation, guess what? Now there's money to pay the profit interest back to the bank, and the banks will be so much healthier and have so many fewer bad loans. It'll be so wonderful for the bank.
Well, more people will have more money to pay off their loans.
Oh, yeah, and then the slaves will finally be getting out of debt. And maybe when they get their loan paid off, they can get a new loan from the bank.
New loans to be had.
I tell ya. Do you want to be free, or do you want to be what you are?
Well,
I want to be free.
Know for a fact, I would like to be free, and I know that I'm not free.
Freedom takes responsibility, and that's what problem America has, too, is American citizens are no longer responsible. Let someone else do it. I know it's a problem, but I've got better things to do. I have to go get a beer or a pizza right now. or I have to watch the football game or something really important like that. But, of course, then when that thing they're bitching about lands on their head, what do they say? Why didn't somebody do something about this? Oh, not me, though. Somebody else. And this is the problem why they're not free, and they can't be free because they don't know how to handle it.
Well, what you're talking about, Greg, I understand it, but people, the way the situation is today, working two jobs, husband and wife, both have to work to make ends meet. So maybe the husband's working two jobs, and they're on the hamster wheel, and they use what you just talked about as escape. Somehow you got